Everybody, welcome to worship on this Trinity Sunday. Even though the Trinity is not mentioned as such in the Bible, Jesus does speak about God, the Father, the Creator, even God as our Mother. And we know that Jesus is God Himself. And He speaks to the disciples about God, the Holy Spirit, who will come to them when He has gone. So, we celebrate that today. We celebrate the Trinity. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let the light of this candle remind us of God speaking light into the world at creation time. Let the light of this candle remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. Let the light of this candle remind us of the passion ignited in God's people by the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in the call to worship today? Glory to Almighty God, who spoke and called light out of darkness and order from confusion. Glory to Jesus Christ, who met us as a refugee, a threatened child, the Word made flesh, born in a forgotten place. Glory to the Holy Spirit, who brooded over chaos, mothering and shaping God's new creation. Glory to God, three in one, surrounded by the song of the saints in heaven, and present with us now and always. Let's pray together. Holy, holy, holy is God, our sovereign Lord, who was and is to come. Before your unfathomable mystery, O God, all eloquence of form and language is facile. We cannot encompass you, for you encompass us. So we fall silent as children of God, and rest content in the knowledge that we are known, wanted, and loved by one infinitely greater than we shall ever be. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. As children of God, we come to His throne, throw ourselves at His feet, and cry mercy. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Triune God, we praise you as the God of love and life. Though Jesus prayed that we would be one, we confess that we fail to live in unity with each other and with you. We break our communion through hostile words and unkind actions. We long for your Spirit to heal us and correct us. We long for you to help us experience communion with you and with each other. Even now, dependent on your grace, we commit ourselves to live more fully in the unity you desire. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
St. Stephen's, hear the good news. The love of God, the Father, claims you. Not because of what you've done, but because of who he is. The grace of Jesus Christ frees you. The cross has removed everything that stands between you and the Father. His resurrection has opened the door. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit holds you, not distant, but present, here, now. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Our scripture readings are from three passages, and I'm reading from the Message translation. The first is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. Our second passage is taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears and saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it. We heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this: we want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. And our final passage is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Before we start this morning, let's just bow for a brief word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are glad that you're here with us today, standing beside us, wanting to so give us the love and the life that you have planned for us. Open our ears to hear from you, and Holy Spirit, rest on each of our lives, I pray. Amen. You know, I think we've all had moments in life, in our spiritual life, when something feels amazing and almost in reach. Almost, but not quite. You know, there was that moment in prayer when God felt so close. There was a stillness in worship when something opened, or a moment of love or generosity that felt deeper than you expected, and we followed through on it. And something happened then that we could hardly explain, and we went, wow, that was real. That was really, really real. And then the ordinary came back and got in the way. Or the doubt came back, or that quiet, insidious voice whispering in our ear, I'm not quite sure I'm good enough for this. I haven't figured out enough to really go there yet. All of that's so real, but none of it means what we think it means. Because that ache, that longing, that desire for something more real, that hunger for a faith that actually changes us, that desire for a connection with God that still holds on Tuesday like it did on Sunday, that's not failure. That is Jesus drawing us toward the life that we were made for. Because here's what I believe Jesus was really after. Not just people who know about him, people who learn to live like he did. Not just people who follow him from a distance, but people who learn to live like he did. Think of it like a Red Seal apprenticeship. Years of training under the master, not just watching or studying, but doing, until you can do what the master does. That's what Jesus is after in each of us. And this is where Matthew 28 takes us today. To understand what God is calling us toward, I want to take you back to those remarkable 50 days we talked about last week, from Passover to Pentecost. Through the empty tomb, the remarkable time at Passover in Jerusalem, and then the 40 days of the risen Jesus coming and spending time with his disciples. Those 11 young disciples with him on that hillside, they knew that feeling of almost. For 3 years, they'd walked with Jesus in the presence of something they just couldn't quite explain. They almost grasped what Jesus was trying to show them. They wrestled constantly. They misunderstood. They made promises that crumbled under pressure. They asked the same questions over and over and over again. They got close, and then the ordinary came back and got in the way again. Sound familiar? And Jesus walked alongside them through all of that. Patient, present. He was showing them what the triune God is like in human form and what they were always made to be. He wasn't showing them what God can do in spite of being human. He was showing them what a human being can do when they are fully drawing from the life of God. And then, after some time together with those disciples, he sent them out in pairs, without him, to do what they'd watched him to do. They didn't know if it would work, but they went anyway. And they came back astonished. Lord, This is amazing. Even the demons submit to us in your name. It worked. And then Jesus turns to them the second time they were confronted with 5,000 hungry people, and he says, you feed them. You give them something to eat. Not watch me, not let me help you. You do it. You saw me do it before, now you do it. Draw from the source. Feed them. This is what we were made for. But then Gethsemane. One betrayed him, one denied him and wept in the street. The rest ran. They hid behind locked doors while he was crucified, while he died, and while he was laid in that borrowed tomb. But Jesus went through all of it for them, knowing that they would run. He went anyway. And then the tomb was empty. And for 40 days, he was with them again, eating, walking, restoring, bringing everything together, connecting the dots of the 3 years they'd spent together, getting them ready for what God had in mind next. And on that hillside in Galilee, he begins to bring it together. Matthew tells us something wonderful with real honesty in that passage. When they saw him, they were blown away and they worshiped. But some doubted, still wrestling, still not quite ready to let themselves go there. Jesus always welcomes the doubters. And if you're here this morning still working it out, still worshiping and wondering at the same time, you're not disqualified. You are exactly who Jesus has always sent. And let's read from the passage in Matthew 28. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." All authority. Easter has happened. The new age has begun. The world just doesn't know it yet. And that's why Jesus is sending them. And I want to linger on one phrase in that passage because we've heard it so many times, we've probably stopped hearing it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We hear that so often as a formula. But hear what Jesus is actually saying. The Greek word underneath in the name translates as into. Not with reference to, not in honor of, not because of, into. Placement inside. Like a branch grafted into a vine, like being brought from outside a household into the very family itself. Jesus is standing on that mountain at the end of 3 years of walking alongside those young disciples, and he's saying, everything I've been showing you about what the Father is like, everything I've been showing you about what you were made to be, the source I've been drawing from that fed 5,000, that loved the unlovable, that went through the cross and came back, I'm throwing that open to everyone, and I want you to lead the charge. Go and place people inside this relationship with the triune God. That's what it's really saying in the Greek. Into the Father, the source, into the Son, who shows you what life really looks like, and into the Spirit, who makes it real for us. This isn't a formula. This is the door to the new life that Jesus intended being thrown wide open. This is the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then to those young disciples he spent 3 years forming, who went out and came back astonished, who failed and were restored but kept on going, Jesus says, go and do with others what I have been doing with you. Walk alongside them. Be patient through the wrestling and the stumbling. Help them discover that the source is real. Help them to become apprentices so that they can experience this life and show all creation that God is good. Now, close your eyes and fast forward with me many years into the future. John the Apostle, one of those young men on the mountain, he's an old man now. He has lived a long time with what's begun on that hillside. He is the same John who walked with Jesus, who stood near the cross, who saw the empty tomb, and he was there at Pentecost. He entered into the life. He was baptized and plugged in to that triune life that Jesus was talking about. And he's been drawing on it for 60 years. Not perfectly, but faithfully. And after all those years, that life hasn't run dry. So he picks up a pen. And he writes to all the churches, the hundreds of churches through Asia Minor and Europe that had been established by these 12 young disciples and their followers. Listen to what he says. And try to put yourself back, sitting beside him in the room, a 90-year-old man reflecting back on his life with Jesus. From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, and verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in the most serious way that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing this is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. He's not writing out of pressure, and he's not trying to market religion. He is overflowing with life. He heard it. He saw it. He touched it. And now he wants others to share it too. He's like, and I think you could safely say, that John was a grandmaster, an artisan of the kingdom of God. He spent decades mentoring people, and nothing brings him greater joy than watching another group of young disciples, apprentices, graduate with their red seal and take up the challenge of introducing the life of Jesus to others. That's why we go. That's why he goes. Not because we're burdened to sell something, but because the real life that has been made known in Jesus is too good to keep to ourselves. We go because this life is made for what we were made for. And that is what Jesus was forming John toward and what he is forming us toward today. This is what Trinity Sunday is all about. Jesus invites us into the life we were always made to live. And that life moves naturally toward others so that they can show all creation that God is good as well. And here is the grace underneath all of it. That same Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, for me, the first time, I think most times I've heard that passage of Scripture, I've visualized it as Jesus offering to help us carrying the load of following him. That he's coming alongside to assist us in what we think he wants from us. But that's not what he's saying. He's not climbing into the harness to help you accomplish what you think he wants from you. He's climbing into the harness to share his life with you, to let you feel from the inside what it is like to draw life from the Father through the Spirit, to walk alongside you through all of it, forming you in the staying close into the person you were always made to be. The yoke isn't the load. The yoke is the relationship. And in that relationship, the staying close formation is happening from within. Gentle, humble in heart, patient. Jesus has always been patient. He promised, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a companion promise. He's in the harness with you. And the life he's forming in you, the life that John was still overflowing about after 60 years, is not far away. It's the life you were made for, right beside you, waiting to open your living into something new. That is the most astonishing gift ever given to ordinary people. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. That includes you, God, of course, and we know you're here surrounding us in your grace and eternal love. We're gathered here with you to give thanks for all of your generous gifts to each of us and to your church community here in Oceanside. Let us pray. Most generous God, we give you our endless thanks and praise for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon each of us and your church here at St. Stephen's, where we worship. We are amazed by the beauty of your creation that surrounds us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lead us onto paths that bring harmony and love into our everyday lives and encourage us to share the many gifts you have given us with your family and to share the many gifts that you have given us with your family here on earth, making your world a kinder and more compassionate place. Great teacher and leader, we thank you for the love and grace that you share with each of us, and we are blessed by the teachings of your Son Jesus while he was here on earth. Jesus' teaching of how to love our neighbors as ourselves and how to focus on how we treat your creation each day are the basis of how we should live each day. Thank you for leading us on this path. Lord, you commissioned all of us to go out into the world and through our lives show others how, as Jesus did, to live in peace and love with you. Help us to not be afraid to speak our truth to those whom we come in contact with and those whom we know are searching for peace and comfort in their lives. Lord, we know you created all of the beauty on the earth with its crazy sea creatures, soaring birds, amazing and big and animals big and small on land and in the sea, along with clear running water to sustain us. Bring us into communion with you so that we can constantly be walking and talking with you. We are only too aware of the fact that we have not respected the greatness of the creation that you share with us. Teach us, Lord, to be aware of you as we live each day in your nature and to walk with you on the various paths where you lead us. Ever-caring God, we know that there are many who find it hard to reach out for the blessings that you offer. Help us to help them by feeding, clothing, and comforting those less fortunate in our community and around the world, so that your wish of on earth as it is in heaven is truly our guide to our daily work and connection to you. We humbly ask that you reach out to each of those in need and let them know they are not alone and that you are by their side. Healing God, we ask that you bring your healing love and grace to all of those who are feeling lost or uncared for in our community. There are many folks here in Oceanside who are suffering from illnesses, loneliness, and various types of grief, and we ask that you share your love and healing grace with each of them, letting them know that they are not alone and that you are by their side. We ask that you also share your grace and healing love with all of those of your children around the world who are suffering from famine, wars, and climatic disasters. Lord, many leaders around the world are turning to the temptation of power and fortune and hate and turning it into horrific actions, causing wars and devastation to your children and your creation. We ask you, Lord, to install in those leaders that the truth of your law of loving your neighbor as yourself is the only way to bring true happiness into their own lives, encouraging them to put an end to the suffering they cause your children. Reassuring God, with so much chaos and anger in the world, and with all of the competing news stories of who did what, provide us with the reassurance that your love is eternal and that you are always with us through the worst of times and the best of times. Lord, our center of knowledge, you have asked us to go into the world to reach out to provide leadership, vision, and strength to your church. Here at St. Stephen's, we are working to bring hope, peace, and love to your children in Oceanside. And we ask that you have, as you have promised, that you stay close by our side and guide us in the direction that you see best serves your ministry in this community. Lord, bring us closer together with others whose mission it is to share your promise of eternal life in your presence. We know that with your guidance, we can bring grace to those who struggle to understand and believe your promise of love. We ask that you guide the political leaders here in Canada and around the world as they go about making decisions that affect your children. Help them to understand that the power of light and love will always triumph over darkness of evil, greed, and hate. Lord, we close our prayers this morning by offering you our deep gratitude for your constant presence with us and the overflowing gift of your love and grace. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we are grateful for all the ways that you give to the life and work of God here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together over everything that's been given for his purposes this week. Let's pray the offertory prayer. Lord of life, you promise abundant life to all who live together in Christ. We offer these gifts as a sign of our desire to share our resources for the common good and building of your kingdom. We humbly ask that you use them to strengthen our unity and deepen our witness and healing presence in this needy world. Amen.
Jesus promised, "I am with you always to the end of the age." He's in the yoke, in the harness with you this morning. His way is not servitude. His way is not obligation. His way is not one more burden to carry. His way is life, the life you were made for. Thanks be to God.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.